As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
Robbing and shooting and raping and killing. Bloody murder, molesting. Running airplanes into buildings. Every time I turn around.
Welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am podcast network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So here's Rick.
Welcome into the Rusty Satellite Show. You have successfully downloaded the show that is all about the most interesting people in the Ville. And this is Rick Redding, your host. And of course, once again, have two really interesting people on the show this week. I have Lachlan McLean, the Sports Talk radio show from WHAS 84, and got to go by the studios over there and talk to Locke, and he's a lot of fun. As you may remember, his wife, Carolyn Gaeta McLean, was the 100th guest on this show, so I'm hoping to set up a little contest between the two of them to see who gets the most downloads of this show. Locke seems to think he has an advantage, but we'll see. The other thing about this show and the thing that ties our two guests together are an association with women, because Locke is, of course, married. He has two daughters, and you'll hear in his interview a lot about the women in his life. The women in George Parker's life are women that are striving, I suppose, to become political. George Parker has a new film out. He's a documentary filmmaker. He is in the process of setting up screenings for his documentary "Raising Miss President," which he produced with his wife. And it's a fascinating piece. I'd like to see the whole thing. I've seen the trailer and some bits and pieces, but I know that it is about, as you'll hear from George, raising the profile and correcting the imbalance that exists between the number of women in the population and the number of women in political office. So there is a lot of movement in this country to get more women representation in the halls of Congress, in local governments, and you know, we're going to have very likely to have a woman running for president on the Democratic ticket this in the next election with Hillary Clinton. So it's a very timely piece, and I really think the things that George Parker's doing in terms of filmmaking in the Louisville area are certainly noteworthy and newsworthy, and that's why we have people like George on the show. So I've got some other things to talk to when we get going, and happy you tuned in. Settle back. Listen up. We're going to start off with Lachlan McLean, and later on we'll have our interview with George Parker. All right, so here's Lachlan. All right, and today I'm in the WHS 84 studios with sports guru Lachlan McLean, who is, I guess, really famous this week because he's a graduate of the University of Virginia, right?
Still beaming after the victory over the University of Louisville. Now, I went to UVA, graduated in 1989, and my goal when I came on the air was not to make that a big deal because I understand no one cares where I went to school. That's not an interesting tidbit unless it becomes relevant, and now with Louisville in the ACC and Virginia, their annual rival, every year in football, every year home and home in basketball, it just got a lot more relevant. I had promised myself I was going to talk trash before the basketball game because Virginia's really good, surprisingly, right, in hoops. I didn't say a word before the football game. I picked Louisville. I bet on Louisville. I was as shocked as any Cardinal fan, but believe me,
I'm beaming. But some part of you was cheering for Virginia.
No, not some part. Every part of me was cheering for Virginia. I watched it at Tony Vannetti's house. He's one of our fellow anchors. And when Virginia was up 20-7, I said, this is the type of game that we normally lose 21-20. Lo and behold, 21-20, and I was beating up Tony Vannetti's couch like we were in West Virginia. I was pounding his couch, but then the late fumble, and as I said, L1C4 right, turnovers.
They did have a lot of, I think, the punt at the end of the game. So that was a big game. And now I have a rule that I talk about with people that you can never cheer against your alma mater, even no matter what. Right?
No matter what, yeah.
So I'm pulling for the Hilltoppers every week, and maybe we'll get it. What do you think? You're a sports guy. What do you think the Hilltoppers are going to do this year?
In football or basketball?
Football.
In football, I mean, their offense is incredible. I mean, Jeff Brohm, they're becoming like the Kentucky version of Indiana, which is they just tons of offense and absolutely no defense. I think he's going to make a name for themselves. I think they'll get to a bowl, you know, their first year in Conference USA, but they have got to figure out a way to make some stops. So
right.
I think they could easily be a team, you know, that could be unbeaten right now, and the fact that they're not, it's going to be a season missed opportunity.
That Illinois game was really tough.
Critical.
So I was just sort of testing you on that because the thing that I find interesting about your job is you basically have to have an opinion on everything, right?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you do, and that's sometimes a challenge. Luckily, and I don't know if it's because I gravitated toward this job or I found that trait within me, that's kind of an easy thing for me to do. And there are things that I don't have opinions on, and those are just topics I don't bring up on the show. I rarely talk baseball because I don't know it, I don't like it, and right, I tend not to have strong opinions on it. Therefore, if you want tons of Major League Baseball coverage, you're going to have to go to somewhere else. But I feel like the most I never have an opinion just to have it. I never do it just to stir it up. I might go a little stronger than my natural opinion just to make sure, you know, I engage the audience. But I am a guy who is naturally opinionated. That's why I wanted to get out of TV and into radio, because you're allowed to have opinions.
Yeah, it's a lot more fun.
A lot more.
And just for our audience that doesn't know, tell us about your job and your show, you know, what you're basically responsible for doing here.
Sure. I am the host of Sports Talk 84 on News Radio 84 WHS. We've rebranded the station, but it airs weeknights 7 and 9 p.m. But I have an equally important role as the afternoon drive time sportscast guy on the Terry Miner Show. And there are people who know me for each of those roles. There's people who know me only as part of Terry's show, and I'm the sports guy that comes in every 20 minutes and have no idea that I do this talk show at night. And then there's people who are just the opposite. But I cover local sports almost exclusively, unless, you know, in the summer in the absence of local sports. But my ideal is to start local and then go national. My theory is there are enough national sports outlets, whether it's all the, you know, ESPN and Fox Sports Radio, and you can get national sports talk anywhere. You have to, in this day and age, you can't broadcast. You have to microcast, you have to narrowcast, you have to give people what they can't get anywhere else, and to me that's conversation about UK and U of L, and so that is, you know, 80% of my show is Cards and Cats.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what it is. I mean, when you say local sports, you mean U of L and UK.
Right.
And you know, basically not much else to talk about on your show, but tell me a little bit. I mean, I know we always make fun of the nutty callers that call in, you know, mainly at UK, I guess, but around here you must have regular callers, people that say crazy things, right?
Absolutely. And people, when I see folks out in public, they go, God, you must hate those callers. I say, no, I love those callers because they tend to spur discussion and they tend to generate other callers. And no sports talk host should ever be dependent on callers for his show. People don't listen to a show for callers. They listen, all ego aside, for the host. But callers can make a show better. And the goal is to get the bad ones, you get the good ones, to get kind of some ideas, especially as a solo host, that I wouldn't come up with on my own. And I love it when callers kind of point out things that, oh, I wouldn't have considered that. And yes, every once in a while, you have kind of the drooling, mouth-breathing idiots, and that's for both fan bases. And you go, okay, and you have to decide how much rope to give them and everything else. But surveys show, and I want to get the number right, it's anywhere, but I think it's only 3% of people who listen to sports talk radio will ever pick up the phone and call. So one of the challenges as a host is to remember you're doing the show for the 97% who are never going to call. And, you know, the 3% who do call, they just hopefully make the show better.
Well, I mean, of course, if you're, you know, I have a background in journalism and all that, you know that people are reading your stuff. You just don't ever hear from them. Right?
Yes, exactly. Unless they're upset, which is fine. You develop a very thick skin. You know, everyone in our business, you know, I didn't know that when I got into this business, how thick my skin would be. And luckily, again, this has been a natural fit. I tend to have opinions and I tend to have a very thick skin. So I think I found the right job.
Well, there you go. I think so. And let's talk a little bit about your background. I know, other than going to the University of Virginia, what else did you do before you got to this point?
Yeah, a little bit of a varied background. I was an economics major at Virginia, and I took a job as an investment banker with Lehman Brothers in New York City, working at the World Financial Center.
Just think how rich you'd be now.
It's unbelievable. I was telling someone the other day, I think I was in media. I did that for 2 years, and I hated it. So I got into sports and broadcasting. And I think it took me 8 years in sports media to make what I made my first year out of college in investment banking. I mean, it's just that's the different world we live in. But I was very prestigious, and I was just very unhappy. So at the age of 22 or whatever, I started my life over, decided I wanted to do sports, and long story short, got a job at ESPN as a production assistant there in Bristol, Connecticut. Did that for about 3 years. Then got a TV job in Albany, Georgia at the Fox affiliate there, and then Augusta, Georgia. I was the weekend sports anchor at the CBS affiliate there. Then moved here to Louisville, and I was at WHAS 11 TV for a couple years, then WBKI TV started up, and they wanted kind of an on-air face of the station, so I moved to there, and then I moved over here to News Radio 84, WHAS, in 2004, and this is my 11th year doing it. It's the longest I've ever had any job, and hence it's obvious it's my favorite one.
Well, good. Well, now I want to talk a little bit about something you talk on the air, or I see on your Facebook post. You have this great family and this wife and 2 daughters, and your wife, of course, was the 100th guest on the Rusty Satellite Show. And
she was quite proud of that.
She was really great.
I encourage people to go back and listen to that one.
But I'm going to challenge you. She had a lot of downloads for that show. I don't know if you can, bring that kind of heat, that kind of audience.
Well, I got an advantage over my wife is that I can promote it on the air. And I'm amazed. I mean, I'm not amazed she would ever get downloads, but you didn't even have pictures or anything because she's quite an attractive female. So when she's got that going for her, she just got it all on the strength of her personality. But, we are both very outgoing. She was a former reporter for Wave 3, the lead reporter on the 11 o'clock news. And there was a time when she was a million times more famous than me. And then briefly, I became more famous to her. And now she's hosting Deadbeat Television. Now she's becoming more famous than me. But that doesn't matter, of course. I'm kidding. But we raise kids who are also very verbal and have extensive communication skills. And there is certainly never a dull moment or a quiet moment in the McClellan
house. Yeah, I'm sure that's challenging for you. I had 3 boys. And you know, so it was a pretty male-dominated household, and wife was kind of in the background there and outnumbered, at least. You're outnumbered at your house, right?
Yeah, I'm the exact opposite, right? I have a wife, I have 2 daughters, I have a female dog, I have a mother-in-law that lives a mile away, and a sister-in-law that lives a half mile away, and I'm the only testosterone for miles around. I'm trying desperately to get my daughters invested and interested in sports. I may have missed out on my oldest daughter. She's moved into the drama realm and theater,
She's
which is great.
She's in the pink aisle at the toy store, right?
My youngest, there's still hope. I whisper to her at night, you will play tennis, you will play golf. I'm kind of subconsciously, and she is, and so, but obviously, you know, it's a lot of fun, and you realize, I never would have thought raising girls as a sports freak like me could be so fulfilling and enjoyable, and it really is.
Yeah, well, good for you. Well, we're almost done here, but I want to get back to sports a little bit and talk about what you think. I mean, what is the local sports issue that gets the most action, that you get the most action talking about?
100%. That's the easiest question. Calipari versus Patino. I mean, if there's ever a doubt, if you ever want to inflame passion or you want a go-to topic that's going to drive phone calls, those two guys have such extensive personalities and are so opposite in the way they run their program. Certainly, they have some similarities in terms of ego and things like that. But just Rick is all about scouting, and John Calipari barely shows his team a tape of the other team, and Rick wants him for 4 years, and Cal wants him to go right to the NBA, and all these little things to the – they're so different. The fan bases are so different. They're each so proud of their coach. That is by far the issue. But what's been interesting to me lately is the increased enthusiasm for football in this market. It is certainly the basketball capital of the United States, college basketball. There's no question.
Right, because you can talk about it in the middle of July.
Absolutely. It's like the – I always say it's like the Auburn, Alabama. You know, they do football 24/7, 12/365, however many days. You know, we we could do college basketball, but football increasingly, and I think Mark Stoops and obviously what Petrino did in the past and now back, they've kind of succeeded in capitalizing on a passion there that I think is underrated.
Okay. Well, one last opinion, since it's in the middle of football season. U of L, tough loss at Virginia last week. How do they rebound and where do they go from here?
I don't know how they rebound. I mean, I'd love to be able to tell you unequivocally, but I think the jury is still out on their quarterback position. I believe by the end of the year, Reggie Bonifant will be the starting quarterback because that gives them the best chance to win. And I think they'll probably end up at the 7 or 8 win total. They won't go to as good a bowl as they went to last year. You know, they won't. But I think that if as long as they don't just completely crater and go 6-6, then they'll get some momentum. And obviously, UK, they've been pointing to 2015 forever. They're actually ahead of where they thought they'd be. That being said, a heroic performance against Florida still doesn't mean they're going to win any more than 4 games. They could be markedly better than last year and still be only 4-8.
Just lose by less.
Yeah, exactly. Cover. Cover for the gamblers.
There you go. All right. Lachlan McClain on the Rusty Satellite Show. Thanks for letting me talk to you today.
My pleasure, Rick.
As a first-time mom, I have to admit, I really didn't know what to expect. But the people at Passport did. Besides covering me and my baby for maternity care and checkups, they offered me extra rewards for things I really needed, like gift cards so I could buy a crib or car seat, and gift cards for groceries and gas. All I had to do to earn these rewards was join their Mommy Steps program for new moms and keep my doctor's appointments, things I was going to do anyway. When they say, we take the time to care, they really mean it. That's why I choose Passport.
Why will you choose Passport? Call 1-800-578-0603. That's 1-800-578-0603. And choose Passport. 1-800-578-0603. Passport Health Plan. We take the time to care.
Well, a big thank you to Lachlan McClain for talking with me on the show. He's always got a lot of energy and a lot of fun talking about sports all the time. Before we get into the next part of the show, I want to talk to you just for a moment about my real estate agent, Bob Zakoler. I just watched a video that Bob produced and shared with people that go to his site about Bob was in Las Vegas. He had a video there from this big Ferris wheel. It was really cool. Bob Zakoler and the Zakoler Medley team, they sell more houses than anybody around here. He uses the technology in a way that benefits his clients. He also provides some great information if you whether you're a client or not. He says right now that the market is good for buyers and sellers. The prices are high. The rates are low. And so Bob keeps up with all this stuff, and he can tell you exactly, he's a fount of information, I would say. Bob Zakoler and the Zakoler Medley team, 367-5483. Give him a call. Tell him that Rusty Satellite sent you over there, and it'll help support the show, and I would appreciate it. So this is the part of the show where I talk about some news and some things that are going on either in my life or what I find interesting that I want to share with you. And I tell you, there is one story that just got my attention. Do you hear about this guy? His name is, he's 33 years old. His name is Oberhansley. His name is Joseph Oberhansley. He's 33, and more information is coming out about him, but it's gruesome. It reads like right out of a Stephen King novel, which stay tuned. I've got something to say about that. But Mr. Oberhansley, reading from the Courier-Journal, he was charged with murder, abuse of a corpse, and breaking and entering in the case. He killed his girlfriend. Her mutilated body was found under a vinyl camping tent draped over the bathtub. Her skull had been crushed. Some organs had been removed. The original story, that's the second story. The first story says, and he's in, this all happened in southern Indiana. He fatally stabbed his ex-girlfriend, and he told police that he ate several of her organs. That's right, ate several of her organs. It just paints a gruesome picture of the things that people do. And, it's sensational. It's what sells newspapers. It sells, if people buy newspapers anymore, but it certainly sells the idea, sells stories. It's sensational. And TV stations jump all over this kind of thing. And, there's a story like this almost every week. And it makes it, I don't know where guys like Stephen King get their material, but I am in the process of doing something that I highly recommend to you. I'm listening. I got about a 30-minute ride to work every day, and I'm listening to Stephen King's Mr. Mercedes. It's a fascinating book. King writes long, of course, so it's taken me a long time to get through this thing. Will Patton, who I know as one of the as the assistant coach to Denzel Washington in Remember the Titans, he is does a great job of reading the book for audio, and it concerns just a sick guy. I mean, it could be this Oberhansley guy, but the main character in the book is a police detective, and he battles with this deranged killer who drove a Mercedes into a crowd of people and killed like 8 and injured 3. And, I don't know how it comes out yet. I'm not going to give it away because I don't know what the ending is like. I think I'm about halfway through, but listening to this thing on audio, it's certainly better than, turning on commercial radio or listening. I mean, the best thing to listen to, of course, is a podcast in your car, and I hope maybe you're listening to this podcast in your car. But I really like the audiobook thing. It's hard to sit down and read, but with audiobooks, you can kind of be doing something else. I do it while I'm driving. If I had one of those jobs where I drove all the time, I'm sure I would be further addicted to the audiobooks. So, anyway, and the story, I'm sure it would be fun to read Mr. Mercedes by Stephen King. I'm a longtime fan of King's work. So anyway, that's what's going on there. Next thing I want to talk about is what's coming up. It's getting a lot of publicity this year, the Jefferson Town Gaslight Festival. It happens to be right up the street from where I live in beautiful J-Town. And there's a lot of stuff going on here that is new and different. We had the mayor Bill Dourif was on several weeks ago to talk about all the changes in the city and the way it looks and things going on. So if you haven't been, there's a bunch of events leading up this, but Friday and Saturday night are a big street fest, and at the intersection of Watterson Trail and Taylorsville Road in both directions, a long block in all four directions, I guess, from the center of that spot, which is exactly a half mile from my house, are vendors and people giving away stuff and artists and your typical festival stuff. We have a lot of those around here, but J-Town's is one of the biggest. It's like the fifth largest festival in the state. And if you remember, I can't remember exactly what the mayor told me, but it's a big deal. And for those of you that are listening and paying attention, if you can find this on Facebook or whatever, but I'm having what I'm calling a before, during, and after party at my house on Willow. You know, some people around here try to I guess, try to. This is the first year I've lived here. I lived on the parade route up Taylorsville Road for several years, but now I live in this house, and I'm close enough to charge for parking, but I'm not going to do that. If you want to come to my party, you can park and walk over to the street fest on Saturday night. Enjoy that. Come back. Have a drink with us here. Me and Paula will be hosting you. So there it is. There's my blanket imitation of the world. Hopefully we'll have some folks out here. And if you have questions about it, look for Rick Redding on Facebook. You can send me a friend request. I'll send you all the information. It'll be fun. We'll just have a good time. Really looking forward to this weekend in J-Town. Let's get on with that. I just want to say a little bit before I introduce my interview with George Parker about the, this whole thing about the International Day of the Girl. There's an event on October 11th called the International Day of the Girl. What George is doing is taking his film, Raising Miss President, around and having screenings, and he's got a lot of women's groups involved in getting some momentum going for the idea of helping women figure out they need to run for office. He talks in they don't need to, that they should, though. You know, people don't run for office for all kinds of reasons, and that's why we end up with candidates that, you know, somehow get elected and aren't right. And a lot of them are, you know, we made a lot of jokes. I really recommend, you know, you like, I know I'm rambling here, but that Bill Maher special on HBO last week, September 12th, where he did his real-time show, and then he did some stand-up, and the stand-up was just outstanding. And he does a lot of making fun of Republicans, and mainly, you know, they're old white guys. And we have in this state a big race coming up, the Senate race between Mitch McConnell and Allison Lundergan Grimes. She's probably the most high profile woman running for office in the nation, and it's bringing a lot of attention to Kentucky. And you know, that's good. I'd certainly like to see Grimes win. I don't think it's likely, but it could happen. And in general, though, we need more women. You know, we won't get guys, and I don't know, I always have to mention this, you know, every week it seems like, but you don't want to get guys like Dan Johnson in the office. I tell you, just for laughs, you should go to Dan's Facebook page. I don't know how to describe it except to tell you, let me read some of the posts here. He posted a thing about the Senate Republicans blocked the Paycheck Fairness Act again, and his comment was, change the rules to where a majority wins the vote, not 60. He wrote, headed down Southern Parkway on foot to the Beachmont meeting. And I don't know if Dan ever hears this. He probably wouldn't appreciate me making fun of him, but these things are just, it's mind-boggling that this guy is in elected office and has been reelected for many years from the South End District. But I'm a little off the subject there. The idea of women in politics is something that people should be talking about, and they are. And people like George Parker and his wife are making a difference, I think, in terms of the way people think about politics and participating in politics for women. So anyway, let's get on with the interview. I went over to Heine Brothers in St. Matthews to meet with George Parker this week, and here's our talk. Today I'm with one of the city's most important, greatest, wonderful filmmakers, George Parker. George, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Rick. That's a little kind, but appreciate it.
Well, we do it all up big here on the Rusty Satellite Show. Now, I wanted to talk to you, and we'll get into a little bit about you and your background and all that, but I first wanted to get sort of talk about this very interesting project. You're the producer, life directs Raising Miss President, and that has a lot going on. So tell me a little bit about that.
It certainly does. This is a film that my wife, Kylie Lane Parker, came to me shortly after we got together, and we were looking at what was going to be the next project. And after the 2010 election, she really is quite questioning, you know, why aren't more women running? You know, Why do they run? And so we kind of started looking at and exploring this topic, and you know, through the course of that, shift shaped here and there, and we really realized looking at the next generation of you know, younger girls and you know, what kind of factors go into them running or being interested in running, which starts really early.
And now, just to clarify for our audience, you're talking about encouraging women to run for political office, which
that's correct.
Yeah, which is
working toward gender parity.
There you go. There you go. And it's a big movement. It's not just a documentary. Tell me a little bit of the film, but I want to also talk about all the ancillary events and this big event you got coming up in October.
Well, you know, I mean, it started a documentary. We created this film. It's nonpartisan, which in this world is pretty hard to do, if you can imagine. There was a lot of people that we chose not to film and interview because we didn't want it to become partisan. And we've had Republicans to Democrats to all. It's accessible to everybody. And it's accessible.
Are these like national, local, regional politicians that are in the documentary? Or
we have. It ranges from national, like someone like Lisa Murkowski from Alaska, okay. This film. Our Congressman John Yarmuth was in the film. Okay. We followed Attica Scott, Councilwoman Attica Scott, here during her campaign a couple of years back, which she won. And then we focused on, we had two groups of that work with young women. One is Running Start out of Washington, D.C., and they have girls from each of the 50 states come for this kind of big summit and workshop each summer. And then Ignite, which started out in California, and they have chapters in a couple different states that work with girls in high school and college around leadership and politics, not necessarily just all politics, but leadership in general. Okay. We're doing a lot of work with the Girl Scouts, different councils around the country. And so the film itself, it's a tool. It's a resource for organizations to use in their kind of programming and curriculum. And we're getting groups that are working with kids as young as, you know, middle school through high school. We've got a lot of universities.
And is it like designed to boost like their self-esteem, boost their ideas for, hey, I can do this?
It does a couple of things. It frames the issue. Mm-hmm. It kind of, you know, we have basically kind of six different chapters. And it explores those. What's great about it for younger girls, they see themselves because a lot of the girls they're speaking are their age. And for you know, older girls and young women and women in general, these are the issues they've been tackling. These are the issues they're confronting. It's interesting because we have a lot of college students and people who are in student government who are asking us to come screen and speak because of the fact that their own student governments are underrepresented at universities.
Well, the film's been out how long?
We released it in 2013, and we did our premiere this year here at the Brown Theater in late February of this year, which was great.
And I understand, tell me if I'm wrong, is it part of the festival?
It's not.
Festival. Okay.
It's not. Because we already premiered it.
Okay.
But we do have a screening at the Kentucky Theater September 25th in Lexington, and everyone's welcome to come out to that. We have some great politicians speaking, and afterwards, almost every screening we have has a panel discussion where we invite women to come speak.
I'm wondering how it fits in with, I mean, you're in Kentucky, and I understand this film isn't just about Kentucky, but you know, we have a big race.
Certainly
a man against a woman for Senate here. Is the film at all on the radar of the candidates, or you know, Allison Grimes running for Senate? She seems to bring up a lot of women's issues in her campaign.
She does. Well, we know her campaign's very aware of the film, along with almost every woman running in this state, as you can imagine. You know, we don't endorse any candidates because we're nonpartisan by nature. But what we do is we point out women who are running. We're actually have a big campaign right now where we're exploring gender parity in each of the 50 states with our partners at Representation 2020. We're highlighting those women who are running. We're not endorsing them, but for people to look at. And then for those who are wondering what some of the issues are, you know, a lot of women are using our film to kind of frame why is it important to elect more women, to encourage more, to ask more women to actually run.
And do you have any, like, I mean, I know that it's out there, but any statistics on how imbalanced it is? I mean, I don't know how many are in the Senate or whatever. Of course, we may have a woman running for president next time, so that would really make your...
We hope we have a couple women running for president on both sides of the aisle. That will be interesting to see who comes out to run. One of our partners, Representation 2020, has an incredible annual report they came out with last year that actually breaks down every state and nationally the statistics. We're looking at New Jersey. We're doing it by when the state became a state, and New Jersey was the third state. Their gender parity index, they're 46 out of 50 in the country, so they're really low. They're doing a terrible job.
Okay. Well, Kentucky always ranks at the bottom of these types of things. Where is Kentucky?
And let me correct it. That was Pennsylvania yesterday.
Okay.
New Jersey's a different. Kentucky ranks, I believe, we're 47th.
We're down there.
We're 43rd or 7th. I should know that off the top of my head.
But yeah.
We're not doing well.
Yeah.
But we have elected a female governor, not many states. There are four states who have never elected a woman to the U.S. Congress.
Wow. Okay.
And there's only 28 states that are elected a woman as governor.
I mean, we do pretty good on the Metro Council, I guess. It seems like
On local levels, we're doing pretty well, and I think that's where we do fairly well as far as our index score.
What do you think, based on all this work you've done on this, what keeps women, or what is the reason these numbers are so low? I mean, there's a lot of...
Well, there's a lot of factors, and that's what we've been working with a lot of different groups around the country. One is partly how we raise our daughters. We don't early on encourage them to go into positions like this, so they don't necessarily see themselves in positions like this. And that's something that can change early. And I think the Girl Scouts is a great example of a group that works with leadership and works with, trying to strengthen those kind of things in young girls.
Instill the idea in them early, I guess.
Yeah. And then you have a lot of the double standards. You see a lot of that with the Ban Bossy campaigns and stuff. But the reality is, it's true. Like when girls get into middle school, high school, and when they're assertive and they're strong, it's seen as negative. And then another issue is if you asking women to run. There's a lot of things that we found is that a lot of women, won't necessarily think about that as the first thing they want to do, but they're asked.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of has to get in the culture of, if you see someone that could be a great candidate, to ask them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a simple thing.
Because we all like to be asked to do something.
Yeah. Yeah. And fundraising, all the mechanisms that go into a political campaign. But there's a lot of great organizations out there that are supporting women running, so on both sides.
Okay. Well, that's great. Well, let's move on to ask. I want to ask you a little bit about your company and, what kind of work you do, because it's certainly interesting to be able to make a living in the film production industry in a place like Louisville, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to grow it. That's partly why we, when I first moved back, started the Louisville Film Society, which is growing. And then with our company, we have two sides to it. We have our kind of creative side, which does films like Raising Miss President. Last year, we did a film for KET, and it's been on other PBS stations, called Character Makes the Man, Story of the Kentucky Military Institute, which was an hour-long documentary. And then we have a lot of really great kind of, from the largest multi-billion-dollar company to the smallest nonprofit that we work with, both in creative and also consulting. We're doing a great project right now with the Lincoln Foundation, helping them with their media.
The Lincoln Foundation, and I don't know what that is.
The Lincoln Foundation, it's a great organization. They're down on 2nd and Broadway. They work with young students. It's an application. They start they enter at 7th grade when they go through high school.
Okay.
And it's these kids devote every other weekend through their academic and covers their tuition. Mm-hmm. They get mentoring through it. The parents actually have to go through workshops every 3 weeks. And then, like last year, of their class, 100% of them went to college.
Okay.
They had $2.5 million in scholarships awarded last year.
Wow.
I mean, it's an amazing. I mean, yeah. Talk about that's something you should cover. I mean, they're just a phenomenal organization here in town.
All right. Well, last thing, you mentioned you also do work in the courtroom. I guess you
get some legal a lot of that stuff. Courtroom drama.
Yeah.
So CSI, we create a lot of that. Yeah.
Well, that's all very interesting. It's fun. I know we got this this film festival coming up in town because you're. Like, as you say, you're involved with the Louisville Film Society. Okay. And there's a lot of activity there. I mean, Louisville seems to be, you hear more about filmmaking in Louisville than I guess you used to, right?
Absolutely. It's growing. We're really trying to build and work on some of the kind of foundation blocks. Mm-hmm. We've been doing that. You know, our film festival is one way of celebrating film here, and I think our merger with and linking it with Idea Festival, moving Flyover to that, was a really smart choice and creating a lot of synergies. You know, we have our project down in the Portland neighborhood on Lytle Street that we're trying to build out some movie theaters and trying to raise the money for that, and those will be the first theaters, you know, west of 9th Street.
Okay. All right.
You know, so we're trying to do that. But what we haven't had in the city is a place where a lot of those filmmakers can go. And as filmmakers come in, producers, directors, that resource. And that's really what we're trying to be for them, helping them connect with local crew and provide space. So.
All right. Well, great. Well, George, we're out of time here, but looking forward to seeing Raising This President finding out some of your other work here.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you.
All right. My thanks to George Parker. Very interesting talk there about Raising Miss President, some film things coming up. I tell you, I have some guests lined up in the near future that I'm really excited about. Just stay tuned. Just, you know, if this is the first time you've heard the Rusty Satellite Show, I hope you'll come back every week. Make it a habit. A lot of people have. I tell you, I was looking over some of the download stats for the show, and the numbers are up. I tell you, we had a big jump back in the spring, and the numbers have been sustaining themselves, over 1,000 downloads a week. Very excited about that, and I think it's just because maybe hopefully we pick up a few new listeners every week. It was fun going to that that event at DECA this week. I ran into several former Rusty Satellite guests. It was kind of fun. Stacy Servo was there with New to Lou. Susie Eastman, who I had on just a few weeks ago. And I talked with some folks about some high-profile guests I want to have on in the near future. So anyway, I want to give my thanks to Passport Health Plan for sponsoring the show, along with Bob Sokoler. And also, don't want to forget my producer, Dan Vonderheide of Louisville.am. A bunch of great shows here on Louisville.am. There's one about beer, one about some sports shows, sports talk show shows, and the ever popular former Rusty Satellite guest Stephanie White, who always leads the league in attention and downloads and website visits and all that stuff. It's truly amazing. So anyway, but that's it for me this week. This is Rick Redding for the Rusty Satellite Show. I'll be back with more of the most interesting people in the Ville next week.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests. You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time I talk.